Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week I investigate the transformation that's happening on the planet. And tonight is one of my favorite people. She's an astrologer, Jenny Lynch. Jenny, thanks for being here.
Oh, great, Alan. Thanks. I'm happy to be here with you.
Right, and I think astrology is such a key into looking at what's happening and the transformation. So we can look at a planetary thing, like for instance, I mean, I know you do a lot of personal things as well, but let's look at what's happening with this volcano in Iceland. Can you look at that, a planetary kind of overview?
Yes, of course. Well, here's what's happening. A lot of people don't know about Transneptunian astrology, but that's actually the form of astrology it started with many years ago. And about 4 years ago, my teacher said to me, you know, Hades, the planet of dark, deep things, is going to cross the world's cardinal axes in January of 2010. And he said, from that point on, there's going to be a lot of Earth changes. And, of course, you've probably heard about Earth changes long before, right?
Right. Well, there has been a lot of earthquakes. What is the Earth's cardinal axis, though? I'm just curious. What is that?
In Uranian astrology, it's 0 degrees Aries, Libra, Cancer, or Capricorn. It's a special kind of system that we use. So basically what I want to say is that, you know, Pluto went over that axis a while ago. When we had Pluto go into Capricorn, that's when the whole government started shifting and the banks started collapsing and, you know, we had a lot of things we have to change in the world, okay? A lot of structural changes to make to keep it going because it's really not sustainable on many levels, right? So now what we have is actually Saturn, Pluto, Uranus, and Hades coming over the world's axes. And this is the first and only time in the world. In fact,
I just want to ask, what is Hades? Is that a planet?
It's actually a transneptunian planet, Hades. And so only if you study transneptunian astrology or Uranian astrology or symmetrical would you really even maybe be very aware of it, you know, because it is used only in the Uranian symmetrical system, okay?
Right. So we have all this
astrologer.
Stuff.
Yes.
A regular astrologer has no idea, right?
No, they don't use this. No. But so it's very symbolic. So now what we have, Gary predicted many years ago, back in 2006, at an
astrology. Who's your teacher, Gary? Who?
Gary Christian from Astrolab. Remember you met him? He's from Cape Cod.
I did.
Yeah.
Very guy. Yes.
I talked to him about it, and he said. Actually, I talked to him this morning about it, and he said. You know, when I made that prediction, all the astrologers told me they don't want to hear anything bad. He said, and now it's starting to come true. So, what I want to say about it is that the prediction started the third week in January. That's when Hades came over the axis. So, from that point on, from late January, we had Haiti, right?
Right.
And now Iceland. And he's concerned about parts of Chile, but he says most of it started with Krakatoa, and I can't even remember when that was. It must have been in the 90s or something.
Wasn't there a Krakatoa explosion in the early 1900s, though?
Yeah, it could be back that far. I'm not very good with the history, but that's only one of the main things happening. But, yeah, I could talk for a whole hour just on this. Let's talk first about Saturn. Saturn is in Virgo now, and it was in Libra for a little bit, and then it went backwards. And with Saturn in Virgo, it's up in the sky on the 26th of April. Is going to be exactly, well, is it the 26th? It looks around there, exactly opposite Uranus. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is causing a lot of tension, and people are telling me that they're having a hard time getting a full night's sleep. You know, they're picking up on it. Uranus is everything new that needs to come in, and Saturn's holding on to everything old that used to be. So it's causing a lot of turmoil, especially if you have planets around 28 degrees of Virgo. of Pisces, of Gemini or Sagittarius. You're going to feel it more than anybody else.
But how do you deal with this? I mean, let's say it is going on. Is there a way people can cope?
Well, I guess by embracing change and accepting what is and moving forward. I mean, that's the best, most graceful way to deal with these, any kind of stress in the horoscope. Or, you know, obviously your show is about higher consciousness and evolution, and, you know, this is part of the process, right?
I guess it is. I mean, you have to embrace change if you want to evolve, I suppose.
Exactly. So, but it feels stressful. It's like outgrowing a pair of shoes. You know, you're still walking around in these very tight shoes. So, and there's a lot of anxiety right now. Ugh. You can't believe how many people are, you know, looking for astrology readings because they've been out of work. They're uncertain about what's coming next. They need to sell their home suddenly. They're worried that they won't be able to keep the lifestyle they had, you know, because as we become more conscious and more aware of the world around us, you know, we have to, you know, it causes a huge transformation. I mean, it's hard to enjoy yourself and go to a party when you're seeing faces of people that are suffering all over on television, you know what I mean? And I can't remember, but how many millions of people have been displaced by war recently in the last decade or so?
Right.
And so there's a lot going on. Now, listen, I don't want to labor on Saturn because it is going to move into Aries, Libra.
When does that happen, and then what happens when that happens?
So the main thing is this, for the 26th of April, we're going to have the fourth pass of Saturn and Uranus. We've been dealing with this for some time. And it's going to come back one more time in July. And this is why people are astrologers, financial astrologers, think that the stock market will take a huge tumble. Right now, Saturn is retrograde. It's going to go direct May 31st, so right on Memorial Weekend. And then it doesn't really get back into Libra until July 22nd. So what that means is if you are a Libra, you better get your act together because Saturn's coming your way. Now, Saturn usually draws attention to what needs to be focused on in your life, okay? So if you do have a major Saturn transit, it'll point out areas that need to be rectified or brought to the surface, fixed for once and for all and stuff like that. So it gives proper direction for your life in general. It's just that suddenly you feel like you have a million things to do where before it was okay to sit around and do nothing, right?
Right.
All right, so now, and I want to mention this too. I know you're going to find this very fascinating. All right, so we have the Saturn, Uranus opposition in the sky. On top of that, it's squaring Pluto. So it's causing all kinds of amazing stress. And by the end of May, on the 29th of May, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what did I just say here? You know, it's hard to look at all this stuff at once. I think what I wanted to say is on the 29th of May, Uranus comes into 0 degrees Aries. So, yeah, I made a little faux pas there. That Saturn's not going to get into Libra until July, I believe, right? Yeah.
Well, you said that, until July 22nd, and then Uranus enters Aries, you said?
Yeah, Uranus is going to go into Aries, so it's going to... It's going to cause a lot of innovation, a lot of change. It's going to cause social unrest. You hear about the tea parties forming all over the place. People are starting to get back into the streets like they did in the 60s. You're going to see major people and demonstrations going on this summer as this combination heats up. Now, also interesting to note is that we have Chiron, which is a planet that deals with healing and you know, your wounded collective, you know, your personal wound. We have Chiron entering Pisces, and this is for the first time since like the 60s, really. It hasn't been there since 1960 to 1968, and it created a huge wave of enlightenment and the Summer of Love in San Francisco and the Civil Rights Movement and, you know, a lot of stuff like that. And Chiron and Pisces has to do with feeling a mystical oneness. So I don't know if any of your viewers out there were around in the 60s, but it certainly did feel a lot different than 2000.
Right, but it was also a big creative explosion. Was that Chiron, or was that just the Aquarian age that was coming, you know, in the 60s, you know, that...
I mean, yeah, there was a lot going on, you know, and don't forget that, like, even in the 50s there, we had, what do we have? We have Neptune going through Libra, and we had a lot of beautiful energy to deal with, and now it's become grim. But I'll tell you what, it's not going to be grim for long. It's going to be super action-oriented very soon. Now, getting back to the Earth change prophecies, okay, this is going to be really interesting. Because from this point on, from now until 2012, we expect more and more and more. Mm-hmm. One of the things that the astrologers are a little bit worried about, I've heard several of them say it separately, is that they're worried about the food supply. Because if more volcanoes start erupting, it's going to cause what they call a year without summer. And it's going to affect agriculture, and that's going to drive the prices up. It's going to be harder to get food that we deliver to Asia and Africa, you know. One thing that Gary always says is, don't worry about food if you live in America, because California provides 40% of the world's food. Uh-huh. So this is the country to be in, and aren't we lucky? Because in other countries, if these natural disasters start to escalate like they think they will, they're going to have a lot to deal with. And look what happened with the airports and the planes just from that one volcano.
It's still going on. I mean, people still are stuck in Europe, you know?
Well, according to a television show we did last week, Mitch Lewis predicted that this is going to be a very tense week coming up because of the Saturn-Uranus opposition in the sky. Uh-huh. And I know Gary has to go out to Seattle, and he said he's very concerned that earthquake, that volcano out there is going to go off.
So, Mount Rainier, you're saying, is going to go off?
Well, he's concerned about it. He doesn't even want to take the flight over there, you know, stuff like that.
Mount Rainier, they call it the sleeping giant,
We will see what happens next, but there's a lot of interesting astrology going on. So getting back to that, the Chiron moving into.
Yes, that's interesting. The healing aspect, because that will help uplift everyone, right?
Right. Now, one of the things that's been happening is that Chiron has been sitting with Neptune, and they've had a conjunction for a long time. I don't know, at least over a year, maybe 2 years so far. And that was actually preparing people for a significant change to come. And part of it is that people have been living in denial, and people have been living in pain, and they've been kind of like just not paying attention to it, just kind of like pushing it down a little bit. But now that it's going into Pisces, it's going to be harder and harder for people to push that away. So the feeling of being uncomfortable or being of pain somehow will become much more critical, to the point where people really want to focus on that. Let's do something to feel better, you know what I mean, instead of just pushing it off to the side. You know, many people, you know, they, you know, with materialism, let's talk about what happened in the last 50 years even. You know, when I was young, you know, we had a lot of social, you know, in the 60s, we thought we were going to change the world. We were very idealistic. Then the 70s came. And by the time the 80s showed up, you know, there you had the yippies were becoming yuppies, like Jerry Rubin working on Wall Street, and people buying Hummers and buying second homes in the Hamptons, and all kinds of materialism, really. I mean, I remember in the 70s that we had the Buddhist movement come up, and they had the books like Cutting Through, you know, Spiritual Materialism. And we were very about Zen as a culture, as a counterculture. Right?
Yeah, but what happened? So what was the configuration that made everybody so spiritually open in the 60s? And then what changed in the 80s? But then there was this other kind of awakening in the late 80s. And, you know, it's the whole Aquarian age is also about a spiritual awakening. So what's happening in the sky to make these, you know, waves of openness and materiality kind of come in and come and go, you know?
Yeah. Well, a lot of it has to do with Pluto. Because, like, for example, when Pluto was in Libra in the 50s, you know, a lot of people that were born then, you know, did have a higher consciousness than their parents, and did see that there were things that had to be fixed in the world, you know, whether it was pollution or, you know, they had the whole back to nature. They started the whole hippie thing. Let's go back and do it right. Yeah. Now, when Pluto went into, by the time that, okay, so that was Libra. By the time it got into Scorpio, that's, I remember Pluto going into Scorpio in the early 80s, and that's when people started to, remember we had the AIDS epidemic?
Right, that was big,
and,
yeah.
And as a result of all the debauchery that went on in the 70s with Studio 54 and drug abuse and such, what happened next is that people collectively went to heal themselves. Pluto and Scorpio has a lot to do with getting down to the root of things and healing. So when it goes into Scorpio, we all tune into Oprah, we go to therapy, we join AA, we do all these things to fix ourselves, right? We come out of the closet and say, hey, I've got a problem, I want to fix it. So then it goes into Sagittarius after that, and, you know, it seemed to be like the beginning of the spiritual movement. I don't know if you remember the 90s. I think that's when Rampha, right?
Yeah, well, through the 80s and 90s, yeah. That was another awakening of a spiritual movement, you're saying?
Yeah, that was definitely, you know, when everybody started to, well, I remember a lot of people were into psychic development back then. They were into learning yoga, meditation. You know what I mean? It went from therapy. You remember, I don't know if you remember this, but 20 years ago, everybody I know was in therapy. Now everybody's saying, like, I don't need to go to a therapist. I don't need to go to a psychic. I know how to handle it, you know?
Well, so everyone's a life coach now, so everyone's coaching each other. I mean, but there's still, like, another wave where all that stuff has now become mainstream. Deepak Chopra, all these people that were, you know, alternative are now, like, in the newspapers on mainstream television. So something's integrated then.
Absolutely. So now we have Pluto went into Capricorn recently, right? Just before, I don't know, about 3 years ago, just before that market crashed and everything. As soon as it went into Capricorn, Capricorn rules government. It rules structure. It rules banks. We knew that everything was going to shift. Capricorn also rules the earth itself, okay?
So
this is the big shifting coming. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, there's another thing I want to tell you about. You know, you've heard about 2012, right?
Right. Yeah, let's talk about that. Yes.
Well, right now, the way that the planets are formulating, they come into a what they call a cardinal grand cross. Pluto, Uranus, Saturn, Hades. And what that means is that it's a peak time of acceleration, okay? So you're kind of getting ready for, like, what's going to be next, all right? And one of the reasons, you know, everything like all these, you know, cataclysms that are due regionally, you know, more hurricanes, more earthquakes, all of this stuff is supposed to start accelerating as well. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed the other day I was doing some research and I noticed that, well, I don't know if I should say this, but I will. I noticed that we have a major eclipse going through California in the late part of 2011. Uh-huh. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, we never get eclipses going through California. Very rare. Most of the time, the path of the eclipse, the shadow of the eclipse, goes right through the ocean areas, right? But this time, directly right through California. And so,
a solar eclipse?
Yes, I believe it's a solar eclipse. I'll take another look at it. I'll tell you when it is, actually, in a second here. I'll just pull it up.
But do they activate earthquakes? Eclipses are connected to earthquakes, aren't they?
Big major events. Earthquakes, yes, they can be. And so, yeah, it's in 2011. Let me see if it's this. I know, let's see. Hold one second. Here's the... You know, you have to do the astrocartography, like how to find your heaven on earth, that whole system, relocation astrology, to really be able to see the eclipse paths. You have to access that program, and then it shows you. Okay.
This is this astrocartography the website, if people want their own individual astrocartography chart done?
Yeah, I think you can actually go to astro.com and have it done on the internet, or certainly you can go to any good astrophotographer and have it done for sure.
I think it was 1-800-MAPPING was the people who used to do it. You know, the, if you just dial that number and give them your birthday and pay them something, I think you can get your astrocartography chart done. So
I studied with him, actually, the guy who invented that system, Jim Lewis.
That really works. It really, really – and I avoided parts of India because I didn't have favorable lines going through there, so I purposely didn't go – to parts that didn't look good. And I think, you know, living on your Jupiter line is powerful. Living on your Venus line, you can have love. I actually went to school on a Mercury line that fell through Santa Fe. So,
well, that's a great place to go to school, Mercury.
Yes, so, it was a good place, yes.
So basically what you're going to have, like, I don't know, a lot of astrologers, you know, I ask them, I always ask all my friends, what do you think about 2012? You know, what are you predicting there? And one guy who happens to be a Mayan astrologer, his name is Bruce Schofield. I didn't ask him, but my friend asked him, and he said, well, maybe he feels like this is when the aliens are going to land finally.
That's good news. That's what I've been predicting. I mean, just through my intuition. But what makes him think astrologically that aliens will land in 2012?
You know, like, because I didn't ask him, I only heard it secondhand. He is the expert on the Mayan astrology. He wrote the first Mayan astrology program, Aztec astrology, whatever they call it. And you can have that done, too, online.
But your teacher, Gary Christian, when I interviewed him, did also made reference to alien landings around 2012 as well. I mean, I don't know what configuration that was about.
I think what they're anticipating is such a radical change of consciousness that it shifts our perspective to the point where we realize we are not alone in the universe, you know?
But what's the planetary configuration that shows a radical change in consciousness?
Well, I'm more worried about 2010, but I'm going to take a look for you. 2010 is actually the beginning of a very hard period. It was supposed to take us all the way until 2014 before we really recover economically. So we have to go through the 2012 dive first, you know, mm-hmm. And it's going to be life is going to become incredibly intense from this point on, is what I'm trying to tell you.
Really, and, economically, socially, emotionally, on all levels.
Yeah, I call it the political geoeconomic, you know, stress that we're going to be undergoing. So,
Chiron will also help us ease that intensity. Is this
By 2012, you know, the big date, you know. In fact, people were joking the other day. They said, you know, going to 2012, going to Cancun where the pyramids are, going there in 2012 is going to be like going to Times Square on New Year's Eve. So much coverage. So many people will be there. But honestly, we do have that Chiron going through Pisces, and is going to be with Neptune this time. So it's going to be, you know, in the sign, in the spiritual sign of Pisces. I think it's going to be really interesting. I think the babies that are born now, from now until that time, you know, are being brought in. I mean, it's amazing how aware their mothers are. They're already doing yoga. They're already, you know, focused on health and preparing for their children in a way that I don't think a lot of mothers got to do before. What happens after, because the way that I see it here is that once the Saturn, you know, gets done with this face off with Uranus and the square with Pluto and everything, you know, things may not be as critical at that point, but, you know, they do talk about, you know, that the sun is going to meet up with the galactic center, and I'm not a 2012 expert, but I do talk to a lot of astrologers about it, so You know, I listen to what they say because they've studied it more than me.
That's a conjunction of the sun with the galactic center. What does the galactic center represent astrologically?
Oh.
My midheaven is actually the galactic center.
Yeah, it said 20, isn't it 26 Sagittarius?
Well, isn't it moving to 0 degrees Capricorn? Isn't the galactic center move?
It's probably what it's doing. I'm not the expert to talk to on these subjects, but...
But in the ephemeris, does it show the galactic center then lining up at 0 degrees Capricorn?
No, because we don't have galactic centers in the ephemeris. We're only studying the position of the planets, so that's the difference, yeah. What I was going to say is we still... Like, the rest of the year is going to be intense, okay? I mean, it really starts up at the end of May. There's probably going to be something very shocking in the news. Like, the things you read in the Post, but they're just tiny little articles, blow your mind, because it's, like, just a few sentences. But,
When? In the end of May, we're going to have a big shocking news story, you're saying?
Oh, yeah, certainly by July. Because by July, everything's going to hit the fan. So all the secrets that people had. I mean, today in the paper, there was an article about Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. She bought all these glasses for all these embassies, only they can't find the glasses. They only found the bill. It was $800,000. I mean, even somebody who is admired.
Like Tiger Woods, like the Tiger Woods big story that happened.
Well, Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods really had a problem there.
Did you look at his chart?
Yes, I've been studying a number of people's horoscopes, and I have Bruce Springsteen is somebody that's going to be hit by that Grand Cardinal Cross very, very heavily very soon. Bruce Willis, he'll be in the news soon.
But what hit Tiger Woods? What was the alignment that sort of did him in? Fascinating, especially when a public person, has such a dramatic fall from grace, let's say. It seems like it comes out of nowhere because he's so loved, and suddenly everyone hates the guy. I mean, I personally don't care what he does in his private life. I mean, that's his business. I think if he's a great athlete, that's great. So, I don't know. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
If you have it handy, if not, we can continue.
Right here. Let me tell you, I have a few people that have been in the news that are feeling the effects of this Grand Cross, okay? One of them is Larry King. I don't know if you watched the news recently, but Larry King, he's going, I don't know, there was some kind of divorce talk, and his Mars is 0 degrees of Capricorn. And Saturn's going to be squaring that, and Uranus is going to be squaring that, and you're going to find that, things are going to get very controversial about his public life. And Lou Dobbs, who wants to run for president, he's 1 degree of Libra. So with Saturn going over his sign, he says he's thinking about running.
I don't know who he is. Who is Lou Dobbs?
Lou Dobbs, he's the... He's a talk show host. He's very political. He has some really good questions. He's he actually gave up his job so that he could free himself up and maybe run for president. Mm-hmm. So we'll be hearing more about him soon. Some talk about Steven Seagal. Oh, my God. He was just in the newspaper. I was looking for Tiger Woods' chart. I kind of think it was his Mars. I know that he just got hit. And Sandra Bullock, she was in the news, too, recently.
What happened with Sandra Bullock? What was she in the news about?
Well, Sandra's a Leo, but she has Venus and Mars conjunct in what we call a mutable sign of Gemini, about 24, 25 degrees. And up in the sky, the Uranus was squaring it all. So, it was like, it was definitely part of her lesson, to get suddenly... swamped and embroiled in a kind of like a love triangle thing. If you have Venus and Mars in your horoscope, you're going to have a lot of drama in your love life. And if Uranus comes only once in a lifetime to square it, then, this is the time you're going to have it.
Ah.
Yeah. The thing about Tiger Woods, you know, we did ask the horror question, is Tiger Woods going to get a divorce, and the astrology said yes. By the way, if you don't know about horary astrology, I'll tell you something interesting about it.
Yes. How do you spell that, horary?
H-O-R-A-R-Y.
Okay.
So horary astrology was like one of the first astrologies ever used, because people didn't know what time they were born, you know, back then. And so all of the world discoverers like Magellan and, you know, Columbus, they all had astrologers on board. And while they were traveling around the world and having to make decisions, they would ask the astrologer for advice. You can read all about it in Daniel Borstein's book called The Discoverers. It's unbelievable how much astrology was used to, you know, further our world. But so one time when Magellan was going around the world there, he lost his ship, and he asked his astrologer, "Where is my ship?" And so the astrologer cast a horoscope. And it's actually like an oracle. It asked the universe for information. And he said, they had a mutiny on board, and they tied up the captain, and they took the ship back to Spain. And that's exactly what happened. And
How did the astrologer know all this from the stars? I mean,
well, you can ask a question, but you have to, it's got to be a serious question, you know? So let's say, Ellen, you thought about moving to Hawaii. All right, and so you go to me and you say, "Well, is this a good time to move?" And I say, "No, wait until next year." Mm-hmm. And I say, "Or maybe I should move. Maybe I shouldn't move." And then we have to ask the horary. So we have to say, "Would it be to your highest good, to your most benefit, if you relocated to Hawaii?" And then, by the placement of the planets, the signs they're in, the aspects that are made, it will tell us, give us information like, it'll be good for your health, but you won't be able to get a job. Something like that.
How do they get the answers? I mean, what do they look at as far as the astrology? Do they look ahead for where the astrology will be, or look at what's happening now? How does the reading actually take place?
No, we cast the horoscope for the moment you ask the question. All right. Mm-hmm. And actually, a lot of astrologers even use this to predict sports games. They want to know what team is going to win, and they ask. And apparently, it's fairly, you know, pretty accurate. I would say like 90%, and that's better than just flipping a coin, right? So, yeah, you would ask, and you would look at the state of the planets. Now, what's really interesting is that about a month ago, I took a horary expert astrologer over to my friend's place, and the friend said, please tell me if I'm going to get a divorce. You know, because it was like, are we getting the divorce or we're not getting the divorce? It was up in the air. And my friend cast the horoscope, and, you know, he told the man his answer, but as he walked out the door, he said, "You know, Jen," he said, "he had Saturn on the ascendant in the horary, and that means that his health is very, very bad. Like, he could even... you know, pass away, you know, you know, he's got like something." So if you get a certain sign, like a Saturn on the ascendant of a horary, it means that the health is more critical than the question, right? So, and he did tell this man, you know, you should go get a checkup. The man already had a few heart attacks, and he was acting like he was ready for his next one, the way he was yelling.
Do you do that kind of reading? Is that something you do?
Yeah, I do horaries. Yeah, definitely. You know, you want it, but you know, if the moon is void of Chorus, then you can't have the question. And if the ascendant is a certain degree, then it's too early to ask the question. There are a lot of strictures in this type of astrology. But you know, if you learn the rules, you know, and anyone can, then you can get a lot of information. One of my friends was telling me the first time he tried it out. He wanted to know where his cat was because his cat ran away from home.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave him the direction, and it described the location and everything, and that's exactly where he found his cat. So, yeah, it's a form of divination, you know. And
it's amazing that astrology can be so specific that way. How old is the science of horary readings?
Well, Horary is one of the first astrology systems out there. I mean, it's got to be, you know, it probably goes back to the Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, by the time that the kings were commissioning the captains to go out into the world and look for gold and everything, they made sure they all had their astrologer with them.
Wow. So let's go back to what you see happening this year and the next 2 years. I mean, we covered a lot of ground, but what's like any big dates we should look for? Is it hard to predict a specific date?
No, I can tell you a few things. By the way, I'm just looking at Tiger Woods' horoscope right here.
Yeah, let's talk about Tiger Woods, yeah.
Yeah, well, one of the things is Tiger Woods is a Capricorn, and so his sun is 8 degrees Capricorn, and this is why even in his darkest hour, I knew that this man is going to make a major comeback, and because Pluto will be going over his sun, and, you know, it's going to be, you know, like he's going to just be bigger and greater. This is what I think is going to happen, although sometimes a Pluto transit could do the opposite. I have a feeling he will definitely rebound. He has a Sun-Pluto square in his natal horoscope, which means that he will go through major transformation in crises in his lifetime. Now, his Mars is in Gemini. I know it's out of bounds, and this is probably the thing that makes him a good athlete. But I really have to – I can't remember what the trigger was on this thing, and I don't have time to look right now.
That's okay. I mean, but, also give people your number, because I know you do a lot of personal readings and your website. What is your website?
Oh, I'm at JennyLynch.com. Jenny Lynch.
L-Y-N-C-H, that's Lynch. Yeah,
otherwise, you can Google me as the Glamour Astrologer and I'll come up.
Because right, because you used to do, for Glamour Magazine, you used to read them?
Still do, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so now, okay, so what's going to happen this year? One of the exciting things is that you're going to have a Venus and Mars conjunct together for some time. And let me just see when it starts. I'll tell you what sign it's in. And, you know, it's going to make it a lot of fun. Even though there's a lot of stress around, I think people are going to bond better than ever. But you know what? I'll tell you, the Saturn-Uranus in the sky is definitely making married couples think about divorce. Mitch Lewis called me and he said, we've got to talk about the Saturn-Uranus. There's a divorce epidemic going on.
Wow.
People that have been married 42 years are coming to me telling me that their wife wants a divorce. So this is like retarded. But, you know, after that gets, you know, settled, you know, because it does bring up issues that need to be addressed. That's what the whole thing is about. We can't go anymore like it used to be. We got to fix this. If it can't be fixed, then you got to let go. And that's what the Uranus coming in there, I think, is talking about. You know, let go and find a new way. So Venus and Mars will be together in the sky. As we move into the summer, they come together in Virgo. And so it starts up in July, and that means that the love planets, if you're a Virgo and you're listening out there, this is going to be the most romantic period for you, will probably be July. Later on in August, the Venus and Mars come together in the sign of Libra. Going to be very interesting. So if you're a Libra, you know, that's good. These are times when you can meet your soulmate, when the Venus and Mars are in your sign.
Nice.
But like I said, let's just see the. I think we'll know what we're up against by August. The latest will be by September. The deficit, you know, the bailout, the economic strategies are not going to work. According to the stars.
Is there anything unpredictable you see? I mean, of course you can't predict it if it's unpredictable, but do you see any, like, surprises, any things coming out of, like, nowhere?
Well, the big surprise, now listen to me carefully, because I want to say that the last time we had a war in the sky between Saturn and Pluto is when we had 9/11. And astrologers knew that Saturn and Pluto were going to oppose each other, and we expected an event to take place. Mitch Lewis, in particular, thought it would be terrorism on American soil, and apparently those terrorists had tagged August 6th as the date they wanted to execute their plan, but the problem is they got delayed till September 11th. So if you want to know where the problem is here coming up in the road, the next bump is going to be July 22nd, when Saturn opposes Uranus again. And now Uranus this time in Aries, Saturn in Libra. You know, Saturn in Libra means doing the right thing. There's got to be fair play for everybody. And one of the big things, okay, so even if the event doesn't happen on the 22nd of July, we expect it to come soon after, okay? Just like 9/11. Not necessarily that it would be a terrorist event. More likely it would be an outrage of some sort. We hear something we cannot barely believe, and everybody gets really outraged about it. You know, the Saturn in Libra is going to say everybody wants justice. And the Uranus in Aries says everybody's willing to walk in the streets and carry on about it. So that
is,
so
that, is that a worldwide thing or particularly U.S.?
Well, I think it's worldwide. And the other thing is that we think that the problem that Greece had with the bankruptcy may not be resolved properly. And, of course, Goldman Sachs got indicted last week, and that was part of the Saturn-Uranus, too. Those guys, a lot of people know that those guys do have insider information, and they are, you know, now it's starting to come out. And so, like, things that people were doing that were corrupt, that were, you know, greedy, won't be able to be done anymore. And honestly, Wall Street's been greedy and corrupt for a long time, but I have heard many people that work on the market and in Wall Street tell me that it's over. You're not going to make money, crazy money like you did in the 80s and in the 90s there anymore, because you're going to have too much government regulation strapped on there. You're not going to be able to get in and out, make a crooked deal. You're not going to do a Madoff anymore. None of that is over. As long as people are walking the earth, I know we're going to have con men, okay? But it's going to get a lot harder. How can I say this to you?
That's a good thing for most people, I would think. You know?
Well, it's going to be a good thing for everybody because, you know, to have just a few people so very, very wealthy, outrageously wealthy, and everybody else is slave to their credit cards. Like today in New York City, the doormen revolted and they went on strike because they're working in these luxury buildings, but they're only making $40,000, which does not go far in New York City when you have a family. So they're saying, you know, the doormen are only 8% of the maintenance of the building. Come on, give us a break. Give us some more money. But the rich don't want to do that, and the landlords don't want to do that. And, you know, everybody's out for themselves. So, but what will happen is that they will be forced to pay more taxes, you know, certain people. And, you know, everything's going to shift now. You know, I don't know politics that well, but, you know, from what I've listened to my friends talk, you know, a lot of this started up with Reagan made some deals for very wealthy people. They had to pay less taxes than the regular Joe, you know, percentage-wise. Hey, and in New York City, what is it? It's something like 60% of all the people pay the taxes. There's 40% of New Yorkers that don't pay any tax. And, you know, hey, that's not too fair either, right?
Right.
So a lot of things have got to change. So what I was going to say before, where it was so easy to pick up real estate back when Saturn was in Cancer a couple of years ago, everybody was buying a house, flipping it for 100%, right?
Right.
Those days are over. Just like the same for Wall Street. Those days are over. Making the big flips, making the big deals are done. So the next thing that really should happen is that we should dismantle some of these big corporate structures. And
like the whole healthcare system, we should, like, you know, have public healthcare, get rid of all the insurance companies, and that will cause a huge change, but I think it'll be the best thing that happened.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. But Mitch Lewis was saying that he thinks, you know, and he's an expert on America's chart. That's all he ever talks about, America's chart. But he was saying the other day he thinks that we're going to have some kind of a, like, an epidemic. He's been saying it for some time. I don't know exactly what kind, but, you know, but he thinks it's respiratory coming up next. So we'll see if he's right.
Does he think there's a civil war? Because doesn't Obama kind of isn't he a recapitulation of Lincoln? And, you know, I think there is a sort of civil war brewing between the rich and the poor. And
you're absolutely right about this. In fact, he said it in his newsletter last week. He said, what we are facing is the next civil war in this country, and it's about class. It's, you know, not race anymore. It's class.
Right. And then that's the thing about Obama and Lincoln, yes.
He also said something that was interesting. He called New York City a gated community.
That's true, yes, in a
because
way.
Because the poor artists can't live here anymore. And you know, we've been bitching about that for a while, but the point is that if you have an apartment in New York City and it's worth $4 million, you will be able to sell it this year. No problem, because people are buying into New York like crazy from all over the world. Uh-huh. However, if you're a worker here, like a teacher or a doorman, you're in trouble, because as the cost of living goes up, you're going to get pushed out. So that's right. What's happening. Now, how is it going to resolve itself? Oh, my God, you're going to have to use your imagination a little bit, because this is what I see. I see things escalating, getting a lot more intense to the point where people won't take it anymore, where there's going to be a lot of people indicted, you know, things we're going to find out, political things that just, you know, make you can't bear it, you can't even listen to it anymore. And it's going to get to a point where there's a super crisis. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But it's going to take most of this year is really the kicker. This is when it kicks off. It's this year. And then 2011, I don't really think it's going to be quite as bad, but we'll see.
But long term, I mean, is there an Aquarian age coming, you know, harmony, understanding? Is there a place where all these dramas and traumas eventually resolve themselves and we do have peace, or is that just a fantasy?
No, I think you're right about that. I think from what we figured out is that we're going through a revolutionary time. After that, life is going to be tough for a while. By 2014, the economy turns around. The world becomes a lot more greener. We maybe have those super high trains going even across the country. Maybe this
anti-gravity machines, even. Yes.
Yeah, you know, I mean, a lot of stuff, you know, if you know anything about the life of Tesla, you know that all these things are possible, right? And and then by 2012, we're supposed to be living in a new world. So
2012, 20 what?
2020,
yes.
So we have 10 years of escalated growth ahead of us, right?
Oh, so 2020 really will be the dawning of the new age, Aquarian age, whatever you want to call it.
Well, that's when most of the work should be done, okay? And actually, a lot of the work will be done by 2014.
Mm.
But like, this whole thing with the energy, it's not sustainable, Sarah Palin, to keep drilling and Obama, you know what I mean?
Right.
But you know, I don't know if you know about the diesel engine, but Ralph Diesel invented that engine to work on vegetable oil. And then Rockefeller said, hey, no, I wanted to work on petrol because I got to be selling my, you know, petrol that I'm pumping up in Pennsylvania. And he mysteriously died on his way to England on a cruise. So and from that point on, those engines ran on petrol instead of vegetable oil. Are you there?
Yeah, no, I'm here, and that's why Rockefeller made so much money. He monopolized the market, Standard Oil, all that. So,
yeah, so the things I think we need to have are new checks by governments. I do think we're going to end up being more of a social country. I think that, look at Donald Trump, his private jets, you know, his TV show, his perfume, his golf tournaments. Come on.
Well, will the world actually come together as a single, let's say, country, one world government, you know, where we're, you know,
we
really
have
understand each other's resources and know how to live harmoniously with each other.
You're definitely going to have to do that in the end. But one of the things that I see on a social level is that it's not going to be cool to have all that money and drive around in your Hummer anymore, because people who are taking social action are going to be more respected in the future. And I don't think that's wishful thinking on my part. I think it's just going to come around to the point where, oh, you have $5 billion, what are you doing to improve the world? You know what I mean? And what are you really doing? And I think I think we're going to go through a maturing process as a culture so that reality TV shows, you know, that are, you know, living large and all that stuff, it's not going to make sense to watch that anymore as we become more and more, as things become more and more critical. You know, a lot of people are going to be out of work. You know, the economy is not coming back. The jobless rate is not down like they say it is. I think what's going to happen is we're going to find out the government's been lying to us about a lot of things, and that's going to cause a social unrest.
And that social unrest will maybe peak in 2012 or 2014.
Oh, in July of this year.
Starting July 22nd, it'll start to happen.
Yeah, but I don't even know what kind of changes we can make. I mean, the big fiasco in the White House there with just changing, you know, the little bit of health care that he could change, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
Is that going to happen? So eventually, the planet needs to be socialized and harmonized.
But you're going to see big strides in technology and innovations. You know, with Uranus going into Aries and with that Chiron and Pisces for the next 8 years. I mean, you're going to see people becoming more and more spiritual and conscious.
Hmm. So there is hope. I mean, I know a 2020 said, but in the next 10 years, there'll be these pockets of awakening and opening and transformation that will be going on as a lot of people get discouraged and fed up with the government and all that. So these two forces are acting at the same time in different directions, huh?
Yeah, and I also think, you know, it's going to be interesting, but these baby boomers that are aging now,
yeah.
I feel like they're going to finally kind of, like, you know, get a little bit more communal. I mean, with the nursing homes, with you know, all, there's going to be all kinds of innovative, you know, programs. In fact, one of my clients now is actually designing a new thing called a spa echo home. Really interesting. So, They come up with this thing that's a very a living situation that's very accommodating to your health, right?
Nice.
And so yeah. And so instead of a lot of things, you know, like the whole suburban sprawl, for example, you know, I mean, listen, a lot of people think we're going to hit peak oil. A lot of people wonder why are the Arabs doing offshore drilling when it's so much more expensive to drill in the water? What does that mean? Are they not telling us the truth about the reserves? Is oil going to shoot up? It's very possible, you know.
Well, some people think the whole oil thing is a scam. I mean, you know, first of all, that the earth makes oil. It's not actually a fossil fuel. You've heard that. And it's actually a natural byproduct of the earth itself. So who knows? Who knows what the truth about oil is? But we need to get off of oil anyway. And I think there's solar technology. There's that guy who invented that little battery that Google's using. Did you see that on 60 Minutes?
No, I missed it.
Right, it's a solar battery type thing. It's made with different types of minerals inside a little small box. So,
love it. I think you're going to see a lot of that. You know, the problem is this, though, as I understand it, is that we need to come up with some fast solutions, and we're not going to have them in place. And so this Cardinal Grand Cross that I'm telling you about that's taking place this year, this is going to catch us with our pants down. Something's going to happen. Whether the oil goes sky high and people can't drive to work, I don't know what it's going to be. But the solutions, they're coming, but they're not coming quite fast enough. You know, and also forget about the war and stuff like that. You know, that has got to be done with a long time ago. I mean, that's the most, how can people sleep at night? I don't get it.
Well, that was one thing Obama sort of promised, and now he's saying we got to continue. That makes people, you know, suspicious of politicians. Here's the guy everyone wanted, you know, smart, liberal, open, and he's just doing the same old thing. So
He looked good, didn't he?
Yeah, for a moment. Yeah, he looked like he was something new and different, but it does. He's not acting like it. So
Without getting into the whole conspiracy theory thing too much, but, you know, because you can really get into that. But, you know, we hear about these other powers that are actually running the governments, right? And you got to wonder when a president goes in there and is so disempowered suddenly, you know?
Right, definitely. I mean, there's so much conspiracy. I mean, I don't believe all the conspiracy stuff, but I definitely think the UFO conspiracy is a big thing, you know? On Friday night, this guy, Richard Dolan, is speaking. He wrote UFOs in the National Security State, where he goes through the history of the government cover-up of the whole UFO mystery, you know? So there's
well,
a lot.
I saw Dr. Greer, right, on the UFOs.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Dolan, I don't know. Where is he going to be?
He's going to be at ARE on Friday night, April 23rd.
Oh.
That's 241 West 30th Street at 7 o'clock.
Sounds good. I'll be there.
Okay, come. Do come. He's amazing. He's amazing. And thank you, Jenny, for being a guest. Give people your website again.
Okay. My website is jennylynch.com. More than political, I am actually more like an astrophotographer and a romance astrologer. So if you want to know when you're going to get a job or fall in love or where's the best place to go, that's why you would come to see me. I would tell you these things.
Thank you, Jenny. I'll see you around the neighborhood. Thanks for being a guest on New Realities.
You bet. And I'll maybe see you Friday.
Yes, and when's your television show?
Tuesdays at 6 o'clock on Channel 57 in New York.
Okay.
It's called Star Power with astrologer Jenny Lynch. And if you want to know more about earth changes and peak oil and political changes coming up, I do have a lot of guests on there talking and speaking with their research on it. It's interesting.
Star Power with Jenny Lynch. Thank you. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Check my website, newrealities.com, and look at my archives on BBS and also on newrealities.com for past guests. Thank you for listening.